Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 81st edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Coco Kazadi, who is originally from Lubumbashi, Democratic Republic of the Congo. He was born the middle child in a family of five, earned a law degree from University of Lubumbashi in 2002, and then fled to South Africa, where he worked for multinational corporations in customer service for 10 years before coming to the United States earlier this year. Thank you for being with me here today, Coco.
Hi, Kate. It's all my pleasure. Thank you.
Great. You are my very first guest from the southern region of Democratic Republic of Congo, Lubumbashi. It is a city of just under 2 million people, and it's one of the chief copper smelting centers in the world. And I wondered what else you could tell us about life in Lubumbashi in the southern part of DRC.
Oh, well, there is a lot to tell about Lubumbashi. I think the first thing is the pleasant temperature. Average temperature is very pleasant, average of 69 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm just making the comparison straight away with Portland. So we also have wild animals that you can experience, lions, primates, all sort of primates that you can encounter there.
Elephants too?
Not exactly. You need to go a little bit further upstate to meet elephant. But nearby the city, you can already encounter lions and primates and all sort of wild animals. And of course, we have the people. Lubumbashi people are very friendly people. They have good manners. You know, Lubumbashi is known as the most civilized city in the country. That makes other people of the country jealous of people from Lubumbashi.
I read online that at one point in maybe it was 1940s, it was the highest standard of living for black Africans in Africa.
Yes, that is the other thing that I can talk about Lubumbashi. It used to be kind of the lung of the country. We produce copper there, and at that time copper was the most how can I put it in English? Bear with me because my English is not that perfect, so I'm still enriching my vocabulary, so I will tackle sometimes when I'm looking for a word. So what I want to say is like it's mostly a mine city, mining city, and what we produce in Lubumbashi used to be or to cover the bigger part of the GDP of the country. So we produce or we provide the biggest amount for the GDP of the country. So that
gross
is
domestic changing. Product.
That's correct.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that is changing a little bit because of the crisis, etc. But still, we contribute a lot in the revenue of the country in general.
Yes, it's a crossroads area where materials are made and then sent out. Or more.
Very little manufacturing. Yes, when it comes back to the mining industry, we used to produce cables. And all sort of copper product, but not only that, but that is the main manufacturing, if I can put it that way. So we export that, but since the crisis have gone deeper in the negativity, we kind of stop those activities and we only export the ores and the copper product.
You mentioned earlier that you're still working on your English. Your English is pretty fantastic, in my opinion. And you said you started studying English in ninth grade around then in your schooling. I wonder what other languages you speak.
Yes. Actually, as I said, I've been exposed to English very early in school, and that was just exposure. And as I grew up, I studied a little bit more, and I was interested in the language, so I kept on practicing with a few friends, etc. But I do speak Swahili, Lingala, and a little bit of Chiluba, which is my mother tongue. Yeah, it's a kind of a privilege to speak so many languages, and I'm happy that my parent exposed me to those.
Have you met anyone in Portland you can speak Chiluba with?
Yes, I think I'm also grateful because I met so many fellow Congolese citizens here, and we can speak all those languages when we meet. So yeah, I speak Lingala here, a lot of people from Kinshasa. I do speak Swahili. There are people from the eastern part of the country. We also have people from Lubumbashi, but very few. So yeah, I have the opportunity to practice all those languages.
I wonder what your family's thoughts about education were. You sound like you were a good student and had access to education. What did your family think about education?
Oh, well, my father was an engineer. And of course, I knew what education could mean or could be for a child or for a person in life. So that was priority number one for his family, for his kid. And not only for his kid, like us, but also for his brothers and nephews. So he really strived to put the family forward at large. Eh? As I said, it's not only the direct family as you used to call it in America here, but when you speak about family in Africa, it's like really family at large. So he really pushed everybody he could to get an education.
Yeah. What kind of engineer was he?
He was a chemist engineer.
And did he work in the copper business?
Yes. He worked for the company called Gécamines. That was the main company that produced copper, cobalt, zinc, nickel in the Katanga region. And as I said, that was the biggest company in the country that employed thousands and thousands of employees and provided the biggest percentage of the GDP for the country.
Can you tell us about how you decided to study law at the University of Lubumbashi?
Oh, that's a kind of a journey. Well, actually, that was not my choice to study law. And my first choice, or my dream even as a child, I was thinking of becoming a doctor. Of course, when I grew up, I didn't have that opportunity to make that choice when you register for university, because the availability of places was really limited. And you take what is offered to you.
If there's an open slot, you take it.
That's correct. Otherwise, we'll have to wait for the next year in order to get something in whatever you want to do. And even though you will not be guaranteed that you're going to get it. So you better get what is presented to you. So my first choice was definitely a medicine. And I had a second choice, which was economics studies. And my third choice was law. So I didn't even expect to get that, to that third choice. But unfortunately, I don't know, that came out to be the opportunity that was open, or the slot that was open for me. So I grabbed it. I was not really disappointed.
You weren't disappointed. No. You started thinking maybe this is my third choice, but then what happened?
Well, I took it, I started, and from the first year, the things I learned kind of enlightened me and changed the way I saw things, because at that time already my country was sinking into a deep crisis, political crisis, a lot of injustice, a lot of abuse and all those things. And of course, being in the law school made me see all those things a little bit differently.
The human rights issues.
Exactly. Especially that, because then I was starting asking myself question, what can I do to impact a community? What can I do to make a difference, you know? And and I became an activist from there.
And you see how we do things here. We were talking about it earlier, and you said, here kids lead the way and are trained to be leaders from a young age. I wonder what you're seeing and what makes you say that.
Well, I think if you have been exposed to Africa's way of doing things, you will notice that immediately when you come to America. The children are really having the opportunity to express themselves. They are being respected, and their opinion are respected, which means a child is not doing things because their parent asked them to do, but they are doing things because they feel like doing it. They are good at doing it, and their parent really let them express their aptitude, and they lead them through that. So they are not being led by the parent ambitions, but it's something which comes from within them and is like supported mm-hmm. by the parent and schools, etc. So I find it amazing. And I think that is an investment for future leaders, because they will be very creative. They will be good leaders.
I really like that perspective, and it makes me wonder what happens in Congo. Mm-hmm. If people are allowed to study what they want to study, does that change the dynamic in your country? Or has everyone gotten good at a field they weren't that interested in?
Well,
Or perhaps when you study something, do you find you love it anyway?
Well, you know, life is full of surprises.
That's say the least.
You might think that you're not good at something because that is not what your heart is like pondering over. But then you are by chance exposed to something, and you find out that you like it, or you can do it even better than you thought. So that is the situation of many people in Congo. They have been studying things they didn't expect, but then they end up becoming expert and very brilliant to what they do, even if they didn't choose that. So that is kind of weird, because I cannot say that if they force you to do something, you will not be good at it. But I think the ideal is to let someone flourish in something he likes, something he wants. That is the ideal. Okay. I've seen also in some Asian countries where things are being done like in the dictatorship way, but it works. So
we're resilient people.
Well, I can say that. But at least what I want to say here is, like, we have an ideal, and that ideal is painless. Okay, so if in my country a parent can still decide on what kids can do, I think it will be better for the kids to choose what they want to do. But it doesn't mean that that is why things are not working in my country, because we have different cultures, different way of doing things. And it's just what I think that is the ideal.
Yes.
Yeah.
People rise to the occasion, but even better still, you would get to choose.
Definitely.
Yeah. Of the five children in your family, four have left your home country of Congo. Can you explain why so many people leave the region and the country and where they go?
Well, many reasons make people move. Okay, I would call that moving, not leaving. We had a couple of difficult situations in Congo from the ethnic discriminations and killing, from political unrest, you know, the war that you heard about on the eastern side of the country, and so many. So people have left the country, people have moved from the country because of those different situations. And most recently, it's because of the war on the east. So most of the Congolese that will move will be coming from the eastern side of the country. But of course, the general situation, political situation, makes some people within the country, like in the center, in the capital, or other regions, to leave because of political reasons. Yeah.
So earlier this year, you left Cape Town, South Africa, and moved to the United States, first to Cincinnati, and a month later to Portland. Could you tell us about your first impressions of Maine? I'm curious what you see and what you noticed as a new person.
Oh, well, I think the first thing is the cold.
Hard to miss that in February.
Yes, when I arrived in Portland, it was white. Yeah, they told me that Portland was mostly white populated city. And I don't think that it's only the population which is white, but also
the land.
The land. So it was white everywhere. Trees was white. Houses was white. Cars was white. The road, my goodness, everything was kind of under the snow. It was a pleasant experience, I would say, because I've never saw the snow before. So I touched it. I saw it falling. I was amazed on the crystals that are exactly what we see on the snow side. You know, the scientific logo of snow.
Yes.
Of freezing. So that was kind of amazing, and I loved it. I loved it.
You are listening to WMPG, Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. I'm Kate Manahan, and this is New Mainers Speak. If you're just joining us, welcome. My guest today is Koko Kazadi. He's originally from Lubumbashi in southern DRC. Educated as a lawyer, employed as a customer service professional for 10 years in multinational corporations, you're now here, starting all over again. And soon you will get to your work permit in Maine. And I'm wondering what you're thinking about your next career move.
Oh, well, I look at veterans. And I have I've listened to amazing stories about veterans. Some have become businessmen. Some went back to their career fields, and some have changed completely their careers. And it's quite amazing what they can do and what support they have in America. So myself. As a lawyer, I didn't practice, but I had to change my career to sustain myself and my family. And being in America is another challenge, definitely, because I have to look at my career orientation again. And of course, I need to go back to school and kind of build up on my knowledge to make sure that I can become a professional in America, because each and every country have kind of its own way of building up on professional or new skills that are coming into the country. So I cannot just being productive immediately. I had to go through a kind of polishing process, which I'm doing,
through Portland Adult Ed?
Definitely, through Portland Adult Education. And yes, I'm sure that after that I will be ready, because you need to be ready in order to be really productive and to be an asset to whoever employee who will hire you. So yes, I'm looking at embracing a new career in the US, and I guess I have the good structure, or the appropriate structure, I would say, to help me out and get me on my feet again.
And you had mentioned when we spoke earlier your interest in learning about ultrasonography, doing ultrasounds.
Yes. Actually, it's funny because, as I said earlier, I was thinking of becoming a doctor when I started, when I finished my school and just on my way to university. That was my first choice. So medical field definitely is catching me up, and yeah, that's what I want to do. I did observe a little bit my aptitude and looked at career opportunities around here in the U.S. And I positioned myself as someone who can be useful in that field because I like it. And it's a new kind of career. It's growing. And I'm sure I'll be successful because I really want to do that.
I'm sure you will. And I love the poetry of finding your way to your calling in the first place, one way or the other.
Yes.
You'll still be in the medical field helping people right where you thought you should be.
Definitely.
I love that for you. Beyond work, I'm wondering, what are some of your hopes for the future? What do you think your life will be like here as you get more established?
Well, yeah, I have a full faith on a brighter future. I think it's amazing to be in this country because you have not only policies that give you the right and the safe environment to grow up in, but also give you the security. I think I've never been in a country where so clearly everywhere you go, they tell you that you have you are equal, you know, white, black, Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, atheist, from wherever country you're coming from, when you arrive in the U.S., you are just as equal as the president, as equal as the local native. You have the same opportunities and all those things that I can name. And that is enforced by the law. And, well, I'm sure that you have never been exposed to such to things like discrimination, but coming from the DRC, having spent so much time in South Africa, I know what it is, and I can see the difference right away. And I can assure you that it's really a great experience to be in a place where you can explore your full potential just as the native of the country. It's really amazing, and it kind of gives you wings. It makes you believe that you can really fly. And so that's what I want to do. I want to just fly.
You may very well soar.
Oh, yes.
Because you have that perspective. You know what's possible. And that's exciting, and thank you for your perspective on that. I think we can sometimes forget that we have access to quite a lot of good things.
Definitely, you do. I've came across people, I would say Americans, that don't realize what they have at hand, and they would sink into depression with the thought that they are not being supported. But when you look at the structure in place around them, very available, and even coming to them, you'll be amazed that they still can't get up and stand on their feet and be productive people, you know.
Perspective is really important, isn't
it? It is. So, well, I hope that in that perspective also I can help, you know, I can be a motivator, if I can put it that way.
Yes, I think that's very clear that you're quite capable of being a motivator.
I hope so.
Are there any key people in your life here that have made a difference to you over the course of this 10 months you've been in the United States?
Oh, yes, many. Well, I think I will start with the people who support the Portland Adult Education. I think the outgoing mayor,
Michael Brennan.
Yes, I think he has been very supportive of that institution, and I can assure you that that institution is doing a great job. A lot of immigrants that come to the U.S., to Portland, are being put on track, are being built into a productive kind of community because of adult education. And at the institution itself, there is Sally Sutton.
Sally Sutton.
Yes.
Yes, she's the director.
Yeah. My teachers, Shoshana Hose, Michelle Perry, Sarah Staples, Alain Kulu. They are really people who have had a great influence on my motivation as a person. They put me a little bit up when I was down, because it's not always easy to change your environment for good. And knowing that you left everything behind you and you're starting from scratch, you know, those kind of challenges that you go through, they've been there for, you know, helping you, putting up your strength again, and,
yes,
you know.
Supporting you emotionally,
exactly,
and academically.
Yeah, definitely.
To get on the way.
Exactly.
Coco, you are an intelligent man with a world of experience. You're bringing that to our community. I wish you a very smooth transition into a meaningful work and a fulfilling life here. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
You're most welcome. I thank you for inviting me.
I'm Kate Manahan, in the studio with my guest, Coco Kazadi. We will close today's program with a song he's chosen for us. Can you quickly tell listeners why you picked this song today?
Oh, well, I chose Maria Valença from Papa Wemba. Number one, Papa Wemba is my favorite singer. He's great in talent and as a person.
And he's from Congo.
Yeah, he's from Congo, of
Papa
course.
Papa Wemba.
Papa Wemba.
Thank you.
I call him Dioyo.
Saki ba mani ye na Santo